Ready, now, put.
Scanning. Control. Manipulate scientific data. Take over. Blast. Control. World government. Shut down infrastructure. Ship everything to China. Just look at this person.
And welcome, everybody, to really the first official XFL InfoWars show. I know the last time everybody who has downloaded the last podcast, more or less a preview show, but I got kind of tired of talking to myself. And so fortunately, I have a co-host now who is in upstate New York. I'm here in southwestern Japan. And I have with me former sports executive David Selinsky. And him and I are going to be, hopefully on a weekly basis, depending upon our schedules and time zones and everything, talking XFL football. And we're going to talk about, obviously, the game itself, players. But there's another aspect of the XFL really nobody is talking about, and that is the news about the business. It's the business side of it. And when it comes to the business side of professional sports, I find that to be the most interesting because that seems to be where everything goes wrong. And in sports today, man, the players are great. I mean, the players, it's all about the players. But unfortunately, in this day and age, and with the way the history of all these leagues, starting back even in the 1800s. There's a whole nother part of it. And there's the business side that to me, it's always been, I found fascinating, and literally books upon books upon books have been written about the business side of sports. And so unlike other XFL shows, this one's going to take a very critical look at the news surrounding the business of the league. And that's why calling it XFL InfoWars. And I said previously, it's more of a play on another famous InfoWars show that back in its infancy kind of made you want to think until, you know, that host kind of went batshit crazy and, you know, then got sued for billions of dollars. We're not going to do that here. We're not going to go crazy on you. But at the same time, we're going to take a look at the headlines and see what's there and basically call whether or not, you know, in our opinion, whether it's bullshit or not, whether give our honest opinion. And Dave and I both have a background that allows us to take a look. Because we both got experience, we both come to this with different life experiences that I think, unlike other podcasters, we can cut through the BS and take a critical look. And, you know, we, you know, our backgrounds are taking a close look. And with Dave, from his background, especially, he has been on the business side of sports for many, many years. And he's got a wealth of experience to draw from to give his perspective. So Dave, my friend, that is a long way to go to say welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here. Appreciate it.
So yeah, And when it comes to the sports side, and before we hit the record button here, I mean, you and I both talked about it's all about the players. So
yeah,
when it comes to sports in general, do you think the players get lost? Do they get lost in the shuffle with profits and everything?
Always. I mean, you can see that in especially in the major four sports, when it comes to gambling, injuries, everything. I mean, I say players are commodities, but they're interchangeable parts.
Right.
And that's what they're viewed by fans. I mean, look how we utilize fantasy football.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in NFL teams for the majority or major league team, whatever sport you follow, whatever your sport of choice is, next player up, next man up, next woman up. If you can't do it, we'll get the next person. So that's how it works.
And let me add, when it comes to the XFL, so we're on our third iteration with the league, and we're going to talk about the other two as kind of we move along. But when the XFL started, this version started out, and really, I look at it, I don't know about you, but I look at this version of the XFL as really the fourth version of the league, because the AAF was born out of that first XFL experience. So I kind of, you know, people may disagree with me. You might even disagree, but I've always looked at that. I mean, so many lessons have been learned. But what I find different with the XFL this time is there really is, at least in compared to the past, more of an emphasis on the player, such as, and again, there's a PR aspect of this new league that really, I mean, is right out there in front of you. But that also kind of provides blinders to other things, at least from what I'm seeing. So what do you think?
No, I agree. And I think that's the only way that these leagues are going to, this league or any other league is going to survive, because of so many choices that football players have.
Right.
Besides the NFL, the last couple iterations, you didn't have Europe. You didn't have Japan. Japan's had football for a long time, but it wasn't the choice that it's been in the last decade. I mean, with the ELF and just the sheer nature of choices. If you're not going to pay the best, you need to treat the best.
Right. Right.
And you need to give that player the choice of, do I go to Frankfurt? Do I go to this place or that place? Or do I stay in Seattle? Might make a little less money, but I'm not going to be traveling. I'm going to be relatively home and go from there. I mean, that's okay. Really, I mean, I think it's a smart choice. And I think they had to. I mean, in today's age, you need to.
Right. And also too, the other aspect that comes into this is the technology. There's so many ways. I mean, what we're doing right now was science fiction 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to have this conversation by video. Obviously we're not doing video for our podcast, because I'm going to be honest with you, I'm still learning the ropes on just the audio portion. I figured, going to wait before I jump into video. But you've got the technological aspect of exposure. Everybody can see what everybody else is doing when it comes to, I mean, for instance, I mean, and you're not that far from the Canadian border, but when a guy went to Canada, were you, I mean, unless you lived in a border city in the United States, be it Detroit, and I think Detroit's really probably the best example of that, and had a CBC feed, you didn't know what happened. Say, for instance, Doug Flutie. It's just like he went away and then he came back. But nowadays, you're able to keep up with anybody who's playing football throughout their career via YouTube, via social media, and so forth.
Yeah. And I was extremely lucky growing up in Buffalo, Buffalo, New York.
Oh, Buffalo. Yeah, that was the other town I was talking about. Sorry. I knew I was missing a city.
We had part of the cable agreement was we got all the main Canadian stations. So every week I basically got every single CFL game in my living room, because we had CBC, CFTL when it existed.
Yeah.
Basically every game. I'd watch Hockey Night in Canada growing up. I'd watch the CFL games on Sundays or Thursday, whatever night they came on, because it was always there. I mean,
so basically you're partially Canadian. If you live in the market, you get the TV, you're like, I know all these guys are. And And you had Tim Hortons where you live.
Yes, we had, I think it's up to 65 Tim Hortons now in Buffalo. So
really?
It's insane.
I go in little tangents here and there about, you know, as we're talking here. So my apologies.
No problem. But I mean, myself growing up when I was in high school was the late 80s, early 90s. So that great Argos team, I mean, right after they were purchased, like it was like with McNall and all that. That was, it was going through right through my high school years when that was just blowing up, and it was just, it was everywhere. I mean, hockey was huge in Buffalo, so you knew who Wayne Gretzky was. So you knew who the Argonauts were. And everyone knew who Rocket Ishmael was. I'm going on a tangent.
No, it's okay, man. We have unlimited tape here, so we're good.
We saw it. I got to see all of it. It was always available.
Yeah. Well, and then here we are.
And the Bills were awful at that time. So it helped that in the early mid-80s, they were not good. So it was good to see a winning team.
Yeah, no, I envy you, man. Just being able to – I don't envy the snow, obviously, but other than that, growing up in the Chicago area, man, we were 4 to 5 hours away from any type of CBC coverage. So, yeah, no, man, you're lucky. So
yeah, I grew up 20 minutes from the Peace Bridge across Canada.
Okay.
That's how close
I was. Well, when you came on, you know, wearing your Expos hat, I'm like, oh, I got to grab my Expos hat too. It was either that or my Blue Jays hat. So, you know, when it comes to, you know, talking about the game and the ability to see what people are doing now. Okay. So going back to the XFL, I'm able to see it here in Japan via a VPN and ESPN Plus. How's it playing on network TV there? I don't know what your TV setup is. Are you watching it on ESPN Plus or just through the network?
I'm watching ESPN Plus.
Okay. Okay. So the XFL came out of the gate. I'm going to lean on you for the first week at how everything looked, because I was actually on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't able to, I read everything. I kept up with the scores. Yeah. The XFL app, it's not bad. It's better than the CFL app, which basically is no app at all. And the USFL app, which is no app at all. So I kept up on the scores and everything while I was over here. So how did the games look the first week to you? How was, you know, gameplay, presentation?
Yeah, I thought it went well. I mean, the teams look, I mean, it's when you have limited training camp, when you're new collection of players, at times it looked a little sloppy, but you saw where the quarterbacks were getting cohesiveness with the receivers, the offensive line play. You could see that they've been some real good work to get to where they're at. And there's obviously more, but I thought presentation wise, the game on the field was entertaining. I mean, just like the NFL, I mean, just like no different than the NFL, some games are be good. Some games are duds. Some are entertaining, but I thought overall, the product they put on the field was, I think the expected outcome. That's what I guess I assumed it would be, but I envisioned it would be. I didn't go into this thinking it was going to be the gimmickry of like the gimmicks that Vince did from the first time around, but.
Right. Was it more like the second term time around? Did it come across?
It looked like it came across like they wanted to play football.
Okay.
And then this is our brand, like the XFL brand of football.
Okay. Because that second brand, I mean, the second version, I mean, the quality on those telecasts, I mean, it was serious football. I mean, there was obviously, you know, there's a lot of self-promotion that goes along with the league. In the form of one person, did you get? Mm-hmm. Was there a lot of that in that first week of just seeing Dwayne Johnson like everywhere?
You know what? It was. If it was an every week thing, then I think it'd be a bigger issue. But he did put a lot of time in it, put a lot of effort. It's at the end of the day, still, I'm assuming probably a lot of his money involved too, and. He played the part of who the Rock is. He's Dwayne Johnson and he's the Rock. So at the end of the day, I think there've been more questions. Like, where was the Rock? If he didn't do what people expected him to do.
And that's a good point.
I think people have said, hey, where's Dwayne? Like, is he not on board with this? I don't know if you saw, there was, they did like this 54, it's like this, the show that they're running. I saw it on ESPN Plus, and I gotta say it was really nice to see. They brought all the, and I saw a clip of it. They brought all the players to one location just to sit down and talk with them, thank them, wish them a success, but getting everyone together saying, you're the XFL. And I thought that was a nice touch.
Well, and that's what I think has been missing. And hopefully this version keeps that focus on the players, because, you know, I mean, the first XFL obviously was all about gimmicks, was all about, I mean, it was, you know, I mean, I watched all the way through. I was one of the few that was still hanging on at the end. The second XFL, I mean, it was only 5 weeks, and those 5 weeks went by like, dude, where'd it go? Where'd it go? Oh, that's right. Cause I spent during those 5 weeks, when the XFL came on, I think I spent four of them in Navy uniform. So I didn't really get a sense, but I've gone back and watched the old telecast and, but yeah, no, there's definitely an emphasis. And that's what I like about this current version from what I saw, because I watched all the games for week two. We're just talking now about the players on the field. So then we're going to talk about the telecast here and audience attendance and audience size and ratings and all that stuff. But yeah, these guys are out there busting their tail. And yeah, it's taking time to gel. I would not call it sloppy football. I would just say these teams just have not practiced enough together to get their timings right, to get everything right. But, you know, fortunately for the XFL, these games have been competitive, with the exception, I think, maybe of two games.
Yeah.
But that's really par for the course when it comes to football in general and competition. I was not disappointed at all at anything that I saw on TV here. I am disappointed with the XFL not having an international agreement to broadcast these games to make it easier for guys like me who want to watch these games to have to go extra steps to, you know, try to, you know, basically it's like the old days with the rabbit ears, man, trying to get that rabbit ear just right to get the signal. And that's what dealing with the VPN, that's what life is like for me to watch sports now. It's kind of like the old rabbit ear days. It's like, do I got the right? Leave it. Don't mess with it. Cause if you mess with it, you're going to lose the signal. So, but yeah, they don't have a broad international broadcasting partner, but you know, that's something that obviously probably is a season two thing. When it comes to the on-field product, let's talk about attendance. Now, in your former positions in sports, you and I both know, I mean, you and I talked before we even hit the record button. Bottom line, it's all about asses in the seats.
Yep.
So what was your thought on what you saw with attendance? Did it meet your expectations, or were you underwhelmed?
Well, honestly, I'm really not sure what I was expecting to see.
Okay.
For all eight stadiums, it seemed like it took forever to get leases done, stadiums announced, and tickets on sale.
Right.
Now, that causes a lot of issues when you're trying to generate that revenue. And more importantly, to show a good crowd. Like, if you had 30,000 people there, no one's going to question, like, nobody questions how those 30,000 people got there.
Right.
But if you only have 6,000 people, everyone questions, why are there only 6,000 people?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
So we've seen that with every iteration of league that folded. Like, I think one of the funny stories is the World Football League, when I forgot, one of the teams had like 57,000 people at a game, and they're like, this is amazing. And it turned out 51,000 were free tickets, and no one ever bought a ticket again. So that hurts. But with this, I'm just looking to see that, honestly, that the crowds are getting bigger.
Right.
Because the first game is your chance, is for these leagues, all these minor level league teams, typically what happens is your first game is your big crowd.
Right.
Because you had the most time to sell it. And then you go week to week to week after that. So the only team that's played two games was Houston. And Houston went from an announced crowd of 12 to an announced crowd of 11. Now they had 1 week to sell that second game because not many people are going out there, I'm going to go to the second game of the year.
Right.
And not go to the first one. So I would be curious, and we'll never know. Just the curiosity to me is, like, what is their season ticket number? And that's such a vague thing that I just said, because there's paid season tickets. Mm-hmm. There's season tickets that are included in sponsorship packages.
Okay.
There are season tickets that are included with trade packages. So,
okay.
So there's variations of what that season ticket number is. And when we go through the different games, we can talk about that, because I've got my curiosity with one team and their ticket sales is I'm actually watching them weekly because I'm curious on what's going on with them. But that's right. Not.
Well, and we don't have a big enough data set yet. That's the other part of it.
No, we don't.
You can't. I mean, it's Trent. Obviously, we know just from what I reposted on Twitter, and I can't remember if you posted or not, but they're showing the ticket, like, okay, yeah, it is trending down, but it's only second week.
Yeah,
you just don't have enough numbers in there to really. Now, obviously doesn't look good, but that doesn't mean it's a failure. That doesn't mean it's gonna go down.
And unless a disaster happens somewhere this week, they'll have their best attendance of the 3 weeks.
Oh yeah,
because St. Louis is having their first game. So
is it is St. Louis playing at home this weekend?
I thought they are. I thought week three is when they're home. That's what I thought it was.
That's what I was thinking.
They did the first two on the road. I could be wrong, but I thought it was week three.
Okay, let me take a look here. Thanks. I don't like doing on the fly during a podcast, but yeah, that's what we got to take. No, that's okay. That's okay. This is
Like you say, we were talking about the games, and just curious, like, once we start getting to everyone's third and fourth home game is really going to be the interesting factor, and see where trends are. Because now you're into it, and football has never been like my background. Football's never been a group sales event.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, no, St. Louis, they're on the road this week against DC.
Ah, okay.
So it's let's see here. So it's Houston. Yeah, no, this week, third week here, we've got Saturday's game. Vegas is at home, DC's at home, Arlington's at home, and Houston's at home.
Okay.
So yeah, goes to what you put. Even with that third week's going to start giving us some ideas.
Yes.
However, we don't know. It's still an incomplete data. I mean, last XFL season, which I don't know about you, but I still kind of consider this league a continuation of the old one, because more or less you've got the same teams.
Yeah.
You know, yes. I don't know why people say 2.0. I mean, really, it's the same league, because you got pretty much the same, just a little bit of a rebrand and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, then you can start. By the time I think you get to week five, and maybe if you disagree with me, then you can start making the comparisons.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, I agree. Once everybody gets that third, fourth home game under their belt, then you'll see who is trending where, and to see which team. And granted, winning has its place in that too.
Yeah,
but it'll be interesting to see where we are at the end of the year from the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Sorry, my wife just poked her head in here, just checking in.
No problem.
I lost my train of thought here for a second. Yeah. So we're at week three. So yeah, once the numbers come in from week three, then we can, especially like with Houston. Houston's kind of, I think, the bellwether on this one. And Arlington, because to me, these are almost like the flagship franchises of the XFL, other than St. Louis. I mean, St. Louis probably is the flagship franchise. Well, no, you know what? I misspoke. The DC, Arlington, St. Louis, and Houston, to me, are kind of the flagship. Because I think these markets, how these markets do is going to depend, are going to dictate how, what the future of the, what the future of the league, what the league is, you know, kind of a bellwether, you know, what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
It's how they go. So goes the league. And we know that St. Louis is going to have a huge turnout, but I think it's in these other ones. I mean, you just can't, you and I are both students of history. So we know the lessons learned by the All-American Football Conference back in the 40s.
Yep.
Hey, Cleveland did great, but it was the other, Cleveland and San Francisco did great. But then there was the rest of the league, and then the league went away and it merged. So, because I'm seeing on, and again, I get lost in the, I probably spend in my retirement here too much time on Twitter because of the time zone difference and just, you know, but I have noticed though with Twitter though, I'm the only one that's kicking out news articles. At least I think I am, just going through the news and seeing what everybody else is saying.
Yes.
Other than the News Hub, which, I'm having a hard time with that website because there are just too many damn pop-up ads that for my taste. It's like I can't be clicking off news to read what, you know, to read Mike Mitchell to see what he, you know, thinks. And I completely, Mike Mitchell's spin on this whole attendance. I mean, XFL News Hub is always trying to put a positive spin on everything and the numbers and everything. And you know what? God love them. I know they're football fans and they want to see it succeed. I just think when you put out there, well, these are good numbers, or these come, you know, the positive spin, I think it's too early to, I mean, and this is where I'm getting to with the TV ratings now. I saw the TV ratings. I was not impressed. I mean, there's a downward trend on TV ratings, and I've heard almost every excuse about why it is these TV ratings have fallen. Well, not on network TV. It's they lost half their audience from week one to week two. My thought is it's here we go again. And you and I are both CFL fans. So we know that despite all the problems the CFL has, the TV ratings usually stay pretty consistent. I mean, again, it's a league that's, you know, got 100 years behind it. So your thoughts on the TV ratings?
It to me, it's the same as attendance.
Okay.
You're gonna spike week one because of all the promotion behind it. So much money was put behind it, promotion, letting everybody know this is the week. I mean, it was a year in the making. Like this weekend, a couple weeks after Super Bowl, the XFL is going to start. It just seems like it's been that in the football era for so long that I'm not surprised by the ratings. I think the ratings were I'm not sure how much better they could have been. And they're going to take a hit. I'll be really curious on where they are at the end of March.
Yeah.
Really curious because, and I was looking at it, they were talking about how, and this is just more of a comparison, and it's not a knock, it's just more of food for thought. They're saying that, I was reading that week two television ratings were the same as like week two of the USFL. I go, that's interesting. I go, my only question of that is, you're in the heart of TV time now.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, it's not the same as it used to be, but this is when new shows are out, new episodes are happening, and the USFL is in the summer, which is typically the worst time for television. We're in the middle of repeats. There is nothing new coming out. I mean, streaming has changed that calendar a little bit, but June, July, and May, June, July is awful time for television. That's why it's the summer break.
Right.
That's why all these shows are gone. So I'm curious to see where they go based on the stations they're on.
Okay.
I mean, we're never going to get numbers from the ESPN Plus because that's such a proprietary
system. Well, that's what I was going to ask you, because I'm like, everybody keeps talking about, well, we don't know the streaming numbers, and my lack of education on this topic, and it was a subject I probably should have asked this to Tim Hanlon yesterday when I was talking to him on my other show. It's because ESPN holds that information tightly. They don't need it. They don't have to release it.
No, they don't. No, because I mean, another example is, I'm curious if we're ever going to know how many people are watching MLS games on Apple. Because
yeah,
it's
good point.
It's just one of those things where you have a universe that pays, and right, it's available to you.
Right.
So I don't think that ESPN or Fox or ABC, whoever these networks are going after people just to advertise on ESPN Plus. It's the whole yeah, package. They're like, I don't see ESPN calling somebody up going, look, I think the XFL is a great spot for you to advertise your games on ESPN Plus. There's that niche that's there, but they're going after the big fish who are going to be part of ABC or is going to be part of ESPN. Very similar to what Fox did. If you watch the USFL games, they did a really good job of partnering with their big sponsors currently. Well, granted, they might have gotten a deal to be on that, but over time, if you're getting buy-in from people who are trusted advertisers on that show, it's a lot, or on that network, it's a lot easier to get others to get aboard too, because like, hey, they're doing it, you should too.
Right. Well, and the other thing too is the difference between the USFL and the XFL. The USFL is being run by a network, whereas the XFL is run by private investors. And it just seems to me, just based upon what we've seen in the last, especially, you know what, I'm going to go to the whole stadium issue right now. So going back to what you said about, listen, when Vince McMahon ran the first league and the second league, I don't recall them ever being any issues with any stadiums. Now, the biggest issue, obviously, was it was too cold in Chicago and too cold in New York for a spring league to start. But but people showed up, but the TV productions were pretty decent. There was a lot of shtick, but we never heard about Vince McMahon never been able to secure. He had everything locked down. But here we go with Vegas, and they're playing in an old minor league ballpark with spray painted paint. And I'm like, you and I are both of an age back when, you know, we were kids, you know, football teams played in baseball stadium. It's a cool aesthetic. I still love it. But in the 21st century, when you've got a team in a really you would think would be a good market in Vegas, and they're playing in a minor league park with paint on it, it just wasn't a good look. And then just to see the announced, and I know you and I both took a look at the numbers, and we took a look at what we saw on the TV did not match what we saw, or what we heard was announced did not match our research and even what we saw on TV. So let me ask you, when it came to that announced 6,000, I mean, there wasn't 6,000 people.
No.
Where did they come up with that number? Because nobody has been able, from what I've been able to see on any of these podcasts, on any of these Twitter accounts, and the best, but you're the one guy I know I can trust can tell me where they came, where did they come up with this 6,000 number?
That's a great question. Because that's the one I've been tracking. Because if you look at, their ticketing page, they have roughly Well, I looked right before the first game. They have roughly 800 tickets available for every game moving, like every game left this season.
Right.
So that would lead me to believe that they have a great season ticket base.
Yeah.
But when you looked at the picture, the people who showed up were the people who bought season tickets. And the people who didn't show up were the sponsored tickets or the tickets they used to give away to paper the crowd.
Right.
And then the weather, I didn't realize it was going to be that bad.
You know what?
I'm so far away from Vegas, I'm not paying attention to what the weather is. I was like, oh, it's bad.
Yeah. So, and I tell you what, when it rains in the desert in winter, man, that's just not that sucks.
Now, I'm assuming that if it was a nice day,
yeah,
that place would have been hopping.
Right.
But as with any tickets that are given away or distributed, you're lucky to get half of them to show up.
Yeah.
Because there's no vested interest in going. So I'd be curious, because if they're showing only 800 tickets available, that's the one team I'm really nervous on. They could lose their shirts with Vegas.
Yeah, it's just not a good look. And everybody, and there's, you know, a lot of guys I think that have blocked me on the XFL America Twitter account, which, you know, that's their right to block me for my opinion and my memes. But they've all made good points too with why was this team placed in Vegas instead of a place like San Diego, which, hey, had lost its team, had got a stadium right there where the old Murphy used to be, ready to go. It just, and there was just the way this new league has made some of their decisions just boggles my mind, because like you said, would have thought this would have been nailed down by now.
I mean, you just, negotiating a lease for a stadium is hard. There's a lot of aspects to it. If it's privately owned, it's obviously a lot easier than if it's a municipality.
Right.
Because if a municipality, you have to find out who the city leases it to, or who the city has it managed, and then you have to contact that management group,
okay,
to see if dates are available.
Man, it sounds like the Navy, man. Just a lot of bureaucracy that's going through.
Once you try and get dates, you then have to then negotiate what the expenses are. I mean, I looked up the St. Louis Battlehawks lease. They're the last, the lease just before, well, I guess XFL 2.0 then, the one that played a few weeks. The XFL had to give the city of St. Louis a $300,000 down payment, and then they paid $100,000 per home game for the use of the stadium.
Wow.
Part of that deal was then St. Louis got all the ticket sales, and the facility manager collected 100% of all the concession and parking.
So how much were they left with then at the end? Like $5?
So, I mean, but that's standard.
Wow. Okay. But I did not know that.
That is a standard practice. That's why you see a lot of these teams who own their own hockey rinks or own stadiums or things like that. Because if you're going in a rental situation, you get your ticketing, and then you get no ancillary revenue. That goes to whoever the primary tenant is or whoever operates that facility.
Oh, geez. So if that's For one stadium, then you figure it's got to be the same for all, relatively same arrangement for all.
Yeah, I don't see Las Vegas being that issue, but they didn't have another issue. Like, I don't know San Diego well enough to know, like, is that football stadium in San Diego connected to a college team? And give me an example of the reason why San Diego might not have happened. If the stadium is contractually tied to San Diego State University to host their games, there could be a clause in that that San Diego State has to give approval for someone else to come in there and utilize it.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know that situation.
That's the insight that I'm getting nowhere else because these are questions. These are like the hard questions. It seems to me when I read stuff and I'm not quite getting, but what you say makes sense. It just,
When they were sitting in a boardroom going, what eight cities they were looking at, someone was looking at, okay, where are we going to go with this and how are we going to get advertisers? And I don't know where San Diego ranks in terms of Las Vegas or the other, like the eight cities that they chose are all large metropolitan locations. And San Diego is the big city. I'm not saying it's not, but they targeted extremely large TV markets to thus then maximize their potential for television advertising.
Right.
So I'm assuming that Las Vegas is higher up on the chain than San Diego is in desirability from networks from advertisers to get a message to.
Okay.
And it seems like in the last 5 years for sure, Vegas is the hot city.
Yeah.
Like no one expected the Knights when the NHL went there to work. And it's just been crazy.
Right. And then, and that kind of dovetails into, perfect segue into the other thing to talk about with when it comes to the XFL gambling. And, I don't gamble. I have a little bit of money in stock in DraftKings, which has not done well. I think I got like two shares that I think I've lost my shirt on when it comes to gambling. But the gambling aspect with the XFL or with these leagues in general, and and just not only with the XFL, but we can even talk a little about the CFL, because I don't know enough to be able to sit here when people tell me that gambling is going to be, we know what gambling means to the NFL, but these other leagues, is gambling going to work is gambling the key to making these leagues survive?
I just don't know. I think the big four in the large sports, yes. But when you trickle down to, I'll call them minor league sports, because that's what I just don't know. I mean, I think the reason they're doing it first and foremost is to get that sponsorship money,
right?
From whether it's DraftKings, FanDuel, whoever steps up and goes, I'm going to give you $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be the official betting partner of the XFL.
Right.
So then that money then gets divvied up to everybody who's involved.
Yeah.
And then there's a cut of the action on the bets. Okay. But I don't gamble either. I've never placed a bet on a sporting event or a horse race, or I need at least $500 million to go buy a Mega Ball or Powerball, whatever. Because I just cheat. But I just don't. I think they need to get the audience to see the gambling benefit.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, it really hasn't been, there's been, gambling. It's amazing now. We live in a day and age. And you remember when we grew up, man, gambling was the true man. Yeah. You think about what happened with Paul Hornung back in the day, and but we're older. I mean, we know our history, our football history, but here we are now where gambling is just thrown right out in our face every time we turn a game on. And I mean, I like the JB Smoove commercials with Caesars.
Yeah.
Those are the best. I mean, there is a benefit because I am entertained by some of these commercials, but it is, it's just amazing to see where we are at now with gambling and, you know, fantasy football too. Now XFL fantasy, I don't even know if there is, and no, they, you know, but then again, you only have eight teams to choose from. So it's hard to have. And if you remember last, you know, it's like in our CFL fantasy league that you and I are in. I'm like, dude, I only got, but the way Dave has set up everything with that, yeah, it works. But, and that's another thing too. We got, yeah, we got that coming up too pretty soon, our fantasy draft. But when it comes to fantasy football with these other leagues, maybe that's going to be what, who knows? I mean, it's just, we're in the beginning phases with the XFL, and I see a lot of positives. For as much as a critic that I am on social media, and I am a dick when it comes to being a critic, and maybe that's just me, the Navy officer in me, actually the salty Navy officer Mustang in me, because I was former enlisted. And I've, you know, being, when you're former enlisted and then you become an officer, you see through so much bullshit that's put out by the higher ups going, yeah, no, that's not out. So that's kind of where I am with sports and everything going, okay, we have, and I mean, you and I have lived through, I'm too young to remember the World Football League, but, you know, I've read my history books. I'm friends with Mark Speck. I'm friends with Upton Bell, you know? So, I mean, I have, for, you know, in reading their books and talking with, you know, with Upton, Upton's a great guy to, I mean, the stories that he's told off microphone, yeah, are amazing.
Wow.
But the USFL, we both lived through that. We've seen, and World League of American Football, we haven't even talked about that. And then XFL, and just, and then there's the Arena League too. And my opinion is, I think we're at a point now where all the lessons have been learned from the past failures. Do you see it working this time? Because I,
I'm hopeful.
Okay.
I see both groups currently. They're just forging different paths. I like that the XFL is going the route of trying to create the identities inside the communities.
Right.
And I admire the USFL model in the aspect of they're trying to develop a base league and then taking these established teams into the markets.
Right.
The USFL, I think, has a, currently as we stand today, a more sustainable model based on controlling expenses,
mm-hmm,
where the XFL is like, they're at the poker table and they put the chips in. Like, we're going these places, we're gonna do everything we can to make it work. Right. And the attendance needs to be there. Granted, I could definitely be speaking out of turn. I don't have
idea. This is your co-host with me. This is our podcast.
The financial setup of what these teams are, but I'm assuming they each XFL team is sitting down with the offices going, we have the good budget, the average budget, and what if we hit the rock bottom budget if things just don't happen?
Right.
Because I just don't see these guys, like, I don't see them pulling after week seven going, yeah, we're done. I agree. I think they might, if they lose $2 billion, they're going to play every game. They're going to have a championship game, and then they can reassess it later. But I think for the XFL this year is, how do we control and mitigate losses?
Right.
Because with any business, the first year is when you outlay the most expense.
Yeah. And also, yeah. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
I mean, from outfitting all these teams. Like, they're literally replicating the USFL model in 8 cities.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people are smart enough to do the math on what the average ticket price is and how much the tickets are bringing in. Mm-hmm. I mean, all these numbers are announced numbers. So you have to take them with a grain of salt. So that number is really not that number, but you can get an idea. Okay. And then people are smart enough to figure out, I got to get 50 people plus coaches, plus trainers, plus equipment to these cities. You can pretty much figure out, you can gauge how much it costs for these 5 road games, how much it's going to cost. Playing a home game is not the expensive part. It's getting to the 5 road games and back. That's where it's going to add up quick.
Yeah. Okay. And and I know we talked about the XFL and the USFL, and we'll throw it at this one. We'll definitely talk more about it later. But when it comes to the CFL, do you see the CFL being played into the mix with, now that the XFL is actually taking the field, do you see a scenario where because we don't know what's going to happen with CFL season. We don't know. You got an ownership in Montreal. You know, Montreal lost their owner. Toronto, you know what? And for as much as I might crap on news reports about the Argos going to the XFL, ultimately, sports is a business. And so there's been that rampant rumor about, and it started with one, if I remember correctly, one Canadian reporter then came over to one of the news hubs, and it just kind of, it took a life of its own. And next thing you know, it's in Pro Football Talk. But it was pure speculation. Now, you're closer to Canada than obviously I am. Do you foresee what do you make of that whole? Was it just pure speculation, you think?
Clicks.
Yeah, okay.
It's all clicks. In my working days, I worked for a team that did a lot of interaction with the Toronto Marlies, which is the American Hockey, which is the minor league team of the Maple Leafs that they own,
right?
Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment owns as well. And my understanding has always been, since they own the stadium, the rugby team, the Arrows, the Argos, everybody who plays there, it's part of their model to make the stadium work as well.
Okay.
So I don't like what we don't see, and I know they keep talking about the Argos have lost this much money, lost that much money. I'm curious if it's more a paper loss to push things other places that they can't. They can't say that the stadium is losing all this money because they're leasing it from the city of Toronto. So if the Argos are losing $10 million on paper, I don't know really that if that's losing $10 million on paper and writing a check for $10 million because you lost it are two different things. And depending on where MLSE is in their business calendar, a $5, $10, $15 million loss on the Argos business sheet could look good for them. So I'm always curious when I'm hearing about these teams losing and winning. So, I mean, I think at the end of the day, I think.
Well, and that's something I never thought about, what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I think by the time kickoff, Montreal will have a new owner. I think that's in place already. I don't think they would have signed any free agents if they didn't have anybody, because someone had to sign off on that.
Yeah, because I agree with you because all signs are pointing. It's
just like all these sports leagues, I know the commissioner of the CFL takes a beating, but he's only as good as the owners let him.
It's, yeah, he has no strong, I mean, there is no strong leadership in the CFL. All leadership rests in the nine teams.
And those nine owners are extremely wealthy people. So if they want, yeah, they will give the commissioner as much as they want. So, I mean, I always joke around, I mean, Roger Goodell is the best commissioner there is. They pay him a king's ransom, but he falls on every sword.
Right.
He is like, yep, I'm that guy who'll do it. And it's just people forget about that. He is basically the spokesperson for the owners. That's what he's paid by. Like, he's called the commissioner, but basically his job is to make sure that the 32 owners are making a lot of money. Because if they aren't, he won't be there.
Right. Well, and when it comes to the CFL, I mean, you and I are both CFL fans, so we beat our heads when we're talking the CFL. But the talk of but going back to what, you know, the whole talk, to me, it's just pure speculation. And to me, it's like I'm reading it, and now talking with you, it's like, okay, now not only is it pure speculation, but people that are now spun it as to almost it was going to happen, aren't looking at the other things like you just mentioned. How do the Argos fit into the bigger scheme of things with MLSE? And also, too, there's also the issues of the television contracts, which, you know, obviously MLSE, there's a whole, but I just, when I saw it with the XFL, and I just, you know, it's one of those news stories that, you know, we all read, whether it be on politics or whatever, that just pisses you off. And that's what it did to me. I got livid and like, this is completely, I mean, to me, it was irresponsible journalism. But with that said, as Howard Cosell once said, sports journalism is the toy box of the news department.
Mm-hmm.
Words to that effect. So, but it was, you know, it just came across like, wait a minute. Cause, you know, but that time we didn't know what, I mean, the CFL just, it's always been on shaky ground. It's like, don't be putting something out like that, because that's just, that's not right for the fan. That's not right for anybody. It's just, you know, so yeah, that's my pet peeve. That's my pet peeve on XFL news sites.
I mean, and MLSE could purchase all nine teams if they wanted to and run the CFL themselves.
Right.
Like they are, like, I don't think people truly realize the scope and magnitude of their financial value. Like, right. It is immense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's huge. And you look at what, I mean, let's face it, the television contracts for the CFL, I mean, it's what, I think about 50 million.
Yeah.
And 50 million is what you pay a quarterback nowadays.
Yes.
I mean, the money involved. Yeah. But I digress with, you know, talking about all that with the Argos, but just to me, it just came across as, I don't know, irresponsible for, you know, again, we're talking about sports here. It's not like we're talking about national security or stuff like that. But when talking about the Argos, talking about the purchasing, they could easily purchase all the teams. It reminds me just what you were thinking of anybody who's read the book, The Long Bomb. If you've read it, I've read it. But Vince McMahon wanted to, you know, he wanted to purchase the Argos originally. And it was like, well, how about the whole league? So that obviously never, but yeah, there's so much money thrown around that with sports and everything. It just, to me, the sports fan, the CFL fan, it's really, I guess I'm very sensitive when it comes to my CFL. I don't want to see it go away.
No, and I think the CFL as a league is more conservative in how it advances and proceeds with things. So
they've
been around a long time.
Yeah.
They have a solid history. There's just only nine teams, so they can't, they can't do the things a 30 team league could do or a 20 team league can do. So, I mean, it stinks that it looks like the opportunity for a team in Halifax is it's going to be dead for a little while, but it's completely understandable that money's not there to either retrofit or build a stadium. Like it's just not there. It's not going to just come out of thin air either.
And I know I talked about this on my other show with Frank Costantino, just in terms of a merger. Do you see, I mean, if let's just say hypothetically, the leagues were to merge or decide to merge. I think in order, the American leagues would have to adopt the Canadian game. It couldn't work the other way because otherwise it's just football. And if you're going to sell, you know, you've got to have the Canadian game continue because it's different. It's, you know, forget the three downs and everything, but you know, you've got field sizes, you've got import ratios and stuff like that. As much as I'd love to see the two leagues combined, there'd be a compromise. And I put something out there on my webs, on my blogs, that came from another fan who literally had done the math on it. Like, hey, here's how we could, and American stadiums can be retrofitted. You know, the whole bowl, you know, now we live in a day and age now where football stadiums can be, you can pull seats out, you can make them bigger. But yeah, if a merger were to happen, it would have to be to the Canadian game and Americans would have to adapt rather than Canadians. So what are your thoughts on that?
I agree. I mean, living in the Buffalo area, we had for that stretch of time when the Bills played a game in Toronto every year.
Yeah.
And it was a cool novelty, but then it just became Toronto buying a home game from the Bills.
Okay.
And moved it up there. So, MLSE has a great, I mean, they have a great information just from those games. I mean, they played at SkyDome. So, I mean, they'll have the financials. I mean, they paid a lot of money for that game.
Mm-hmm.
And then they tried to sell tickets and they tried to get people there because that's how they were going to recoup their costs. So if they paid, I never saw the deal, but if they say they paid $8 million for the game, so it was, I think, 5 years and $8 million, it was $8 million a game. So now the Bills, well, we just made $8 million, which is better than what they're selling in tickets because that's more of the sellout.
Right.
So basically then they have to go and figure out, okay, what sponsors do we get? What do we do in the way of ticket sales? Because they're, I mean, it always a decent crowd, but it was never sold out. Right. So it's just one of those things where I think they have a good understanding on the NFL level, and then you can translate that and compare that to XFL or whatever the case may be. And I just don't see the buy-in.
Okay.
To do that from the nine teams, like.
There's no incentive. There's no.
No. Because you're not going to be the Toronto Argonauts anymore.
Right.
You're not going to be the BC. I don't see, like, two things will happen. If somehow they figured out a way to keep the Toronto Argonauts name and the logo, I think people wouldn't buy it because they did that and went to American football.
Right. Yeah. Cause also too, that's the thing that factors into this argument is, so those 10,000 or so people that go to the Argo games, they ain't going to the new XFL game. Cause they're going to be like, you took our team away.
Yeah.
We don't want to see this.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can see, look, if I was the CFL and Dwayne Johnson announced I'm buying the XFL for $15 million
or the CFL.
When Dwayne Johnson announced, hey, I'm buying the XFL, I'm going to pay $15 million. I'm getting whatever he got, all the rights and all that stuff. And then they announced, we're going to partner with Redbird Capital to create this venture. If I was the CFL, I'm calling them because they have a lot of money.
Right.
So I'm like, hey, let's talk.
Right.
And I would have made that phone call if I was in the CFL office going, I'm not necessarily looking to have the CFL, but I wouldn't mind some of that money if you're looking to invest in football.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's the thing, too. I mean, the one thing Randy Ambrosia, I mean, everybody's like, hey, there's no harm in talking. And I always equated, it's like, just because you're talking to the girl doesn't mean you want to date her. Just no. You're talking, you know? So it's, you know, a little, you know, it's almost like a flirtation. It's like, okay, it didn't work out. No, but yeah, that's,
go ahead. And money knows money.
Yeah.
So someone inside MLSE knows somebody over there. So who knows from the CFL even who knows who actually was in any conversations and what it led down to or the roads it could have gone to. It's just all of a sudden XFL and CFL is talking. What does that mean? Like, it's, right. It's just one of those things where you have an established football entity who is talking to a new one who has a partner who has a lot of money.
Right.
Yeah. I would talk to them too.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, we're listening, but you know, yeah. Yeah. There, that whole, those. And if you remember that, those were a crazy 2 months too.
Yes.
On the social Twitter, CFL and XFL social media was a buzz. And that's kind of going back to where my whole thing with, you know, the XFL media really took a sour turn because, hey, listen, if you're going to comment on the Canadian Football League, at least be able to figure out that these cities are located in provinces, not providences. And from there, it just kind of went south. And again, a lot of good, well-meaning people on both sides. And I think a lot of it just got, you know, it's kind of like politics, man. It's like, you got well-meaning people on both sides. They all want the comment. We all want football. And people on both sides were getting bent out of shape, including myself. And then you step back and going, yeah, but we all want the same thing. It's like a family squabble. It's like, we all want what's good. So, well, listen, my friend, it is getting late there in up where you're at, up there in New York. And let's see what time it is. Well, we still got daylight for quite a while. So, but hey, listen, everybody who's tuned in for this, really the first episode of the XFL InfoWars show, thank you very much. You can find me and the show at XFL America. And from there, you can find my other social media accounts. Dave, I know you're on Twitter, man. How can people find you?
No need.
No need. Okay. Okay. Well, I didn't know. You know,
It's just me. No,
yeah,
I mean,
it's just you. Now I'm at XFL America. And listen, if you've hung around to the end of this, you know, obviously, please like and subscribe. Just the fact that you're listening to us, we appreciate it and just taking the time. And if you like memes, hey, click, you know, follow me on Twitter. My XFL memes get taken out of context. Everybody thinks, oh, you want the league to fail. No, I just want to enjoy. I do enjoy riling up fan bases, and the XFL fan base is very passionate, very caring about. But just keep in mind that these are just memes, and I like getting a rise. I root for the Arizona Cardinals, and you should see my Arizona Cardinal memes. I am very critical of my favorite team, and same way with the Cubs and so on and so forth. Heck, even, and you know, I'm a Navy veteran, 25-year Navy veteran. I pound on the Navy with all my leadership memes. So it's all meant in good fun. I don't want to see the league fail. Dave doesn't want to see, none of us. We all want, because really it goes back to what we said originally when we started this. This is all about the players. And in the next episode, we'll be talking more about the players and what we saw with week 3. And because now we've got stars emerging that are coming out. Hopefully PJ Rourke doesn't get benched this time. So, you know, that's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother discussion. So everybody, thank you very much for tuning in, and we will see. We'll be talking to you soon. Bye-bye.
Ready, down, put.
Okay, we all know how much Cleveland loves Tecmo Bowl, so let's start playing. I'm the Raiders. I'm Bo Jackson, and hopefully he'll show up.
That's no fair. Bo Jackson's too fast.
Guys, do we want Cleveland back or don't? Oh, here we go. Bye-bye.
See, Peter, he's too fast.
You gotta tackle me. It's B. You gotta press B.
I'm pressing B. He's too fast.
Going over here? Going over here now? Never get tired.
Change your guy, Quagmire. Change your guy.
I'm trying. Peter's cheating. You're cheating, Peter.
I'm not cheating. I'm following the rules. I'm just really good.
You're not really good. You just got Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson also played professional baseball.
Shut up, Joe. Everybody knows that.
Kansas City. Royals.
Can't stop. Won't stop. Bo. Mike. Go. Oh. The. Nope. Going back the other way.
What? Are you going backwards? Just score.
I'm going to run out the quarter.
I'm not playing now. My controller's down.
Seems like your controller's been down the whole time.
Who's Varus? You got to switch off Varus. Get it to Ronnie Lott. Pretty much anyone but Varus.
Oh, no. I'm all the way back here now. I'm in my own end zone. What am I doing? Too bad I'm not Bo Jackson. Oh, wait. I am.
Ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. There you go, Quagmire. You're about to tackle me. But then...
Damn it!
Less than a minute.
Shut up, Joe!
He's gonna do it. He might do this.
I don't know. A lot of football still to be played here.
I'm hitting reset.
Don't you dare hit reset. You hit reset, you're banned for life.
I hate this. Joe, do you want to play?
Yeah, I like being this guy.
A zig. A zag. A touchdown! Yeah! I won the game. And now I'm gonna jump Bo Jackson!